Well, I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We're in this series entitled Looking Back to Now. And so it's the reality that we're all going into the future, and whether it's next month or the end of the year or the end of a lifetime, there's some things, if we are really honest, that we're going to want to look back at that we have in our life today. And so we've been looking at a list of things that we need to be doing now that it impacts our future. I read a story this week from the New York Times. It's an older story about two artists, two women, a lady named Laura and a lady named Sandra, that set up on 44th Street in Manhattan in front of a glass storefront, and they put these words on the storefront. They stenciled these words: air your dirty laundry, 100% confidential, anonymous, and free. And so they stenciled that up there, and so then they began to go out and try to get the attention of the people walking on the sidewalk in the streets and point their attention to this glass front that had these words stenciled on it, and people would stop. And so one of the ladies would walk up to the people that stopped and give them a clipboard. And on the clipboard was a piece of paper and an envelope that had the word secret on the outside. And they would encourage people to begin to write out their dirty laundry, their sin. And they would write it out, and they'd put it in the envelope, seal it, hand it back to the ladies. Hundreds and hundreds of people came, from executives to the homeless. And each one of them, as they walked off and got out of sight, they would open the envelope and put it on the stained glass or the window front of this store. What they didn't know, at the same time that they were writing that, the other lady was sketching their portrait. And so there was the white piece of paper with all their dirty laundry and a sketch portrait of the person. And so over the course of a day, hundreds of people put their dirty laundry on a glass front window. Some of it was kind of silly. Some people confessed for flushing the goldfish down the toilet when it was not dead yet. Others were far more serious than that. But here's what I want to ask you today. Each one of those pieces of paper told a story. And it's a story we all have, because the Bible tells us that all have sinned. And so, you know, I look around this building today, and it's an eclectic group. It's a multi-generational group. But you all got something in common. We have all sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that all have sinned. And so the question we can ask everybody today, all of us can ask ourselves, is what are you doing with your sin today? What are you doing with your sin today? I don't know if you want to, and we thought about it, and I read that story, so maybe we ought to do that on Sunday, and I thought, that's not going to go well. But what are you doing with your sin today? Because the reality is that we have sin, and so the question has to be, if I've got it, then what am I going to do with it? Well, there's a story in Scripture, I think, that kind of pictures us on a lot of different levels. This is the story of King David, and if you read your Bible some, you probably remember the story of King David has an affair with a lady named Bathsheba, who's married to Uriah. Long story short, she's pregnant. And she sends word to the king, hey, I'm pregnant. And so David dreams up a plan in his mind. He says, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring Uriah, her husband, back from war. And then he'll go home to his wife Bathsheba. They will be together. And then everyone, including Uriah, will think, well, that's my baby. And so he sends for Uriah. Uriah comes back. There's just one problem. Uriah is so enamored and so focused on the war and the men that he left behind, he refused. And so David has another plan. Send him back to the war and put him on the front lines, have people pull back from him and let somebody kill him. And that's exactly what happens. It says this in 2 Samuel chapter 11 about this story. It says, when Uriah's wife, in 2 Samuel 11, when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. That's where we all find ourselves. You think, Jeff, it's a little dreary outside. Can we not have something more upbeat? See, it's one of those things that we can talk about that you can't walk out today and go, well, that really doesn't fit me. And so it goes back to the question, what are we going to do with our sin? Matter of fact, what are you doing with your sin? Maybe you're like David, and I don't know if you caught it in the story, but David, he just moved on. He's just like, okay, well, now he's dead. We'll go through some religious functions here, and then you just kind of come to my house, and we'll live as husband and wife, and we'll move on. Maybe you've moved on. Maybe it was moving on from last week or 30 years ago. You just moved on. Maybe today you're ignoring it, and you're thinking, Jeff, the last thing I wanted you to do is bring it up. Maybe you covered it up. Matter of fact, today, you're the only one that knows about it, except for God. Maybe you've tried to ignore it. Maybe that's why you drink so much or take those pills more than you're supposed to. That's maybe why you can't sleep at night. Maybe you've blamed somebody else. But everybody in here is doing something with their sin. Eventually, in David's story, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, there's a man named Nathan that comes along and says, David, I need to talk to you about something, and he brings it up. Don't you love when people bring stuff up? Don't you love when people go, can I talk to you for a minute? You're going, what's that about? Oh, I just need to talk to you. And they bring stuff up that we don't want to talk about. And so Nathan goes to David, and David, he brings this story up to David and confronts David with the sin that he needs to do something about. And David, you can read in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, he simply says this, I have sinned against the Lord. But what are you going to do with your sin? What am I going to do with my sin? When Psalm 51, you've got your Bibles open there, we see kind of a little more of this story that gives us some indication of what we need to do today. In Psalm 51, David is writing, and it's in the context of this story. He says, have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. You see, today, if you will be courageous enough, maybe honest enough, truthful enough to say, I got to deal with my sin, I would encourage you not to start with your sin. You're thinking, good, I didn't want to talk about it anyway. But David doesn't start with his sin. You notice that David starts with God. If you want to do something with your sin today, if you want to walk out of here changed, if you want to walk out of here different, don't start with you, but start with God. Because David starts, he simply says, God, I have, I don't know if you know this or not, he says, I have complete confidence in who you are, God. And because of who you are, this is what I'm going to do. And notice in verse 1, this is so important if you want to get, you want to hold on to this. He says to God, he says, God, have mercy on me. Mercy is God giving you something, well, it's withholding something that you do deserve. I deserve this, but God, in your mercy, you're not going to give me that. He says, have mercy on me, and look at this, underline the word, according to your unfailing love, underline according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. He doesn't say, God, I want you to, out of your love, or out of your compassion, or out of your mercy, God, I want you to do it according to. Out of means there's a limit. That means there is proportion. And some of you are here today going, hey, I like this message, but you don't know what I've done. And so I'm beyond God's forgiveness. I'm beyond his compassion. And so David reminds me that, listen, God, I don't want you to forgive me out of something. I want you to give me according to. And God, your compassion is unlimited. Your love is never ending. And so, God, I ask you to forgive me out of, not out of, but according to that. If you want forgiveness today, if you want to do something with your sin today, by all means, don't start with you. Because today, the only reason it's possible for you to walk out of here forgiven, the only way it's possible for you to actually leave your past behind is because of God's love. Nothing you do today will be the foundation of that. Only God's love. And so what David is simply saying, and y'all know David's story. This is quite a story. And so David says, God, with my story and my sin, I'm going to lean into your love that won't let go. Some of your sins have caused some other people to let go of you. There are some people that won't have anything to do with you. And I assure you, if they really knew what was going on in your life, there'd be a whole bunch of other people that wouldn't have anything to do with you. But David says, God, I'm leaning into you, and you have a love that doesn't let go. You see, as you think about what you're going to do with your sin today, I want you to remember today that God loves you more than you do yourself. And God wants for you to be restored to him more than you want to be restored to him today. And so David comes with this confidence, and he does two things. The first thing he does is the thing that we have to do as you think about your sin. He admits it to God. God, I've sinned. And it's not just saying that. It means, God, I take responsibility. I agree with you completely what you say about me. You see that in verse 4? It's interesting. He says, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Because when we sin and people talk to us about it, what do we often say? Come on now, let's be honest. Don't you judge me. And here's David going, God, whatever judgment you give, you're right on target. That's a different attitude than we typically have, isn't it? When Nathan came to David and David says, and he talked to David, David, I got to talk to you about something. He could have easily said, who are you, buddy? I'm the king. But he came as God's representative of God's truth, and he says, I've sinned against the Lord. And so today, if you want to drop the baggage of guilt today, the first thing you have to do is simply say, God, you know what? I admit you are right, I'm wrong. You define what is truth. I have broken your truth. I have gone against your way, your will. I deserve whatever judgment you give me. Understand today, there is no moving forward in your life until you do this. Now you can fake it, you can cover it up, you can move on, but life will be on hold. You can go to church. I meant to say that earlier with what do you do with your sin. A lot of people go to church, and we're not even Catholic. I'll do you no good today. And if you've ever been to a guy that told you he could do you some good, you got no good. But David says, I admit it. If you read it, he went from moving on and covering it up and ignoring it to five times. You can read it when you get home in Psalm 51. Five times he says, my sin, my iniquity, my transgressions, my sin, my iniquity, my transgressions. It's where we say he owned it. He owned it. He basically comes and says, God, you know, I don't want to make any excuses for this. It means that we stand up and say, God, you know what? I do have an attitude problem. God, you know what? I do have a pornography problem. God, you know what? I did lie. You know what, God? I am a racist. God, you know what? I don't treat my wife the way I'm supposed to. God, I don't treat my husband the way I should. God, I am bitter. I am angry. I am resentful. God, I have an unforgiving spirit. God, I don't handle my money the way you want me to. I don't serve the way you want me to. I don't worship the way you want me to. I'm not the parent you want me to be. We could go on and on and on. But whatever it is, it's where you come before God and don't just call it sin, but say what it is. Admit it. God, I am. Now, we also know from Scripture, our story is also this. If we don't do that, This is what we read in Psalm 32. David says, I'll tell you where I've been on this journey. He says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Amen? Come on. Anybody got a story where you've been forgiven? He said, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. Amen? Isn't that a good place to be? But he said, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't there always. He says in verse 3, he says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. We dress up, we come to church, but hey, man, we know what's going on, right? He goes on in verse 4, he says, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Whew! There would be no need for us to be here today if that wasn't true. But David says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with my sin. Today I'm going to admit it. And then he asks for forgiveness. He uses two things there. He says in verse 1, I have mercy on me, God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Here's the picture. Blot out, wash, and cleanse. This is the picture. David has this mental picture in the Hebrew language that God has a ledger with everything he's ever done on it. It's an accounting term, and he has this idea that God has a ledger with all the sins written out. You got that picture? And he says, God, what I want you to do is I want you to blot it out. I want you to cleanse it. And it has the idea to wipe it clean. God, take your pencil and mark through the sin so that the ledger is clear. You know, as soon as I read that, let me have this, Julia. As soon as I read it, thank you, Julia, I thought about the Etch-a-Sketch. This is a biblical instrument. And everybody had an Etch-a-Sketch, right? A lot of us adults still have them. Don't judge. Let me tell you what the Etch-a-Sketch is. This is what it, you can't see it, but there's all kind of craziness going on here. And this right here is called life. And some of you can look back to yesterday and go, whoa, that was a turn I shouldn't have taken. And then back up here in the right-hand corner, boy, that's back in the 80s, and I hope nobody brings that up. There's that situation with my wife. There's the addiction I have, and there's an unforgiving spirit up there. A lot of weird turns on the Etch-a-Sketch. And David says, God, as I've marked out my life, you've made a ledger of everything. It's all before you, God. And God, what I ask you to do is to blot it out, to cleanse it, to forgive me. Make it clean. See, some of you are walking around with your Etch-a-Sketch with all the turns on it, all the craziness, all the dumb decisions. You covered it and like, I don't want anybody to see it. You ignored it. You've moved on. You brought it to church with you this morning. And if it was as visible as the Etch-a-Sketch, we'd all know. But David says, God, I ask you to blot it out, Lord. God, cleanse it. Forgive me. So what are you going to do with your sin? You see, today, we're able to ask that question. We're able to deal with that question because of the grace of God. that God is a God of grace that says, I want to give you my favor. I want to give you what you don't deserve. I want to give you a clean slate. Because David would say in Psalm 51 in verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. God, I need a second chance. So what are you going to do with your sin? Today, our response should simply be to fall on the grace of God and say, God, I admit it. I ask you to forgive me. I want a clean slate, God. And thank you because of your grace. I don't have to carry this baggage around forever. I don't have to carry it around another day. Because of your grace, I can walk out here without it. But if you want to carry it with you, he'll let you. What are we going to do with our sin? Let's pray together.